Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School. Here, you'll get fresh insight from the people at the very top of the tech companies who make the products we love. Remember, you can learn product management live online. Visit productschool.com to discover our new certificate path. There, you can also join the world's largest community of PMs and network with the leaders from these podcasts at our online events. There's something happening almost every day.
So without any further ado, I'd love to introduce you to our guest today. Mikey, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's start with that because Gainset is a big platform and you guys do a lot of stuff. So please tell me a little bit more about different products that you built.
Absolutely. So I'll start with maybe like my personal story where I started. I was always a passion about really building things. I started coding with, when I was 13. As a person, I really like to learn and embrace changes. And, I get bored very quickly. So you'll find me always in a hectic mode. I also traveled, over 50 countries, which really helped me experience different cultures. I think also helped me understand what I want to do. I like really spending time with smart people, which you can find in many startups. So I created two companies in the past 10 years. One of them was Insightera, I'm going to talk about, and the second one was Aptrinsic. It was got acquired by Gainsight, which is now Gainsight PX. So, I started my first company during the previous recession with my best friend from high school, which we're still best friends. And the company name was Insightera. We were focusing on helping marketing teams acquire new leads. And we did that by helping them deliver personalized real-time experience on their corporate website. And that we are seeing that today, but it was very evident back then that we are in an entrepreneurial renaissance. We technological barriers are always being broken every day. And as customers, we have many options to choose from. So it leads to a very highly competitive market. And I think the online marketing space was back then booming and looking for ways to optimize their spend and really optimize the customer acquisition. So at the end, the Marketo acquired the first company, Insightera. I joined Marketo, which some of you may know or remember, a pretty iconic company. I joined Marketo for 3 years, where we built a couple of more products. And eventually, the company was acquired by Adobe. So it was quite a ride to be part of a public company as well as a young startup. And this is where I actually started my second company.
So, Mikey, you started companies and then you sold them. Now you are at Gainsight. So tell us a little bit more about Gainsight and what are the different products that you are building, especially for product people.
Absolutely. So at Gainsight, we basically help companies put the customer at the center of what they do. So we have a suite of products. We have from customer experience to customer success and product experience as well. So the end-to-end customer experience is what we focus on. And I focus specifically on Gainsight PX. It's a product experience platform. What it means is that we are helping product managers to put data and usage data at the center of their product org so they can really take more informed roadmap decisions. And the essence is to start learning how users use your product, really identifying friction points, optimizing the first mile of product, and so forth. The difference with Gainsight PX, we have analytics and engagement and feedback in one platform, so you can really get this product 360 experience. So when you do learn about user behavior, what you can do is also alter the user behavior using in-app messaging. Because the goal is really to help your customers achieve the outcome. So if you're only looking at the data, you can't really drive that motion. And, what led me to even build this solution is I felt like there's a shift in the market towards really understanding the customer journey. And the customer journey is happening in your product. The way the customers experience your product is equivalent to how they experience your brand and services. So with in-app messaging, based on the data you learn, you can really drive customers to achieve their outcome. And in-app messaging can be online onboarding guidance, as well as also enabling feedback loop. The third element in the platform allows you to collect feedback from customers, focusing really on feature level feedback. So we can learn about key features, how do they feel about the feature, really understanding the why behind the what. So that is what the my focus is in, and this is what helps really product managers drive better decisions, build product that customers love, hopefully, and have more data-driven approach to everything they do.
Thank you. And I know you've been very active in the community, always giving back and sharing your insights as an entrepreneur and also as a product leader. You even wrote a book, Product-Led Growth. And I think these days there's a lot of buzz around product-led. So for people who might not be familiar with the topic, can you just give us like a quick definition in a nutshell?
Yeah, I think product-led growth is a disruptive new go-to-market motion. And I've tried that myself in my first startup when we basically understood that how can we lead with a product? How can we figure out a way to accelerate customer acquisition? Because if you know the existing marketing playbook, what they do is they're going to nurture you and they're going to qualify customers and leads based on a white paper download. And so I think that the visibility and qualification is something that we need to discuss. And then as a customer, if you imagine the journey that you're going through, it's starting from marketing, then you meet sales, then eventually you meet the product, and it creates those gaps, like because you've spoken, you had like a I would say strict handoff between different orgs. And then when you meet the product for the first time, you actually had to take a decision to buy. Maybe you're going to do a POC, but that journey is changing dramatically. So product-led growth is basically helping companies to deliver faster time to value, to lead with the product, even in B2B. One of the things you want to do is really accelerate that, especially today. As customers as well, there's another shift. We expect to understand and reach that experience in your product. We want to build the trust with your brand, based on our goals, and we do value a fast time to value. So I think product-led growth is about really a go-to-market strategy when you lead with your product, whether it's a trial, whether it's a POC. It also in motion about this cross-functional strategy that it involves, first of all, obviously the product leaders. You want to understand the customer journey. The product is becoming the major part of the customer journey, which means that you want to understand how they experience the first moment of value. You want to optimize your trials. You want to optimize the path to the aha moment in the product. So as product leaders, you want to see the full cycle and you want to increase the customer lifetime value over time. But it also touches suddenly there's a shift in marketing saying, hey, the product is now a very interesting channel to message through. So if they want to promote specific content and nurture customers and educate or even optimize your trial, the marketing team is becoming more focused on that channel. And we also see how sales is becoming more relevant to products. It's no longer a sales-led world when I'm going to be using slide deck to just sell you a concept. As a customer, even if you're an enterprise customer, and we do have Fortune 500 customers using Gainsight PX, but the way they learned about the solution was through a POC, a trial they signed up to. And for sales to see that data and intent inside the product is a completely different story. So if you look at the old world, when you use lead and lead intent, which is based on the download of white paper, to the new world, when, oh, the customer is able to sign up and see and experience your product value, that's a shift. And then for sales to see, oh, this is an interesting company, they understand the usage, they understand the use case they are trying to achieve. So sales can be way more efficient and the sales cycle can be much, much shorter. And then if we spoke about marketing and sales, there's also the customer success side of the house. And in this case, customer success are able to understand and look at the product and understand other customers using, achieving the outcome they wanted to. So they can measure value action, not just logins, and they can also collect NPS and other sentiment from the customers to understand where they are at scale. because we also understand in today's world as people are acquiring solutions very quickly, you need to understand scale, and you want your product to help with every way it can. One of them would be maybe to do the heavy lifting onboarding through the in-app experience and building that to your product, or using tools like Gainsight PX to help you build that into your product. So product-led growth is really a disruptive go-to-market. You do not need to implement it end-to-end. It doesn't mean you have to have a freemium model or even a free trial. It's just a state of mind and concept that cross-functionally, if you apply that new approach, you're gonna learn faster. And I think learning faster from and out-learning your competition is very, very important. You're gonna make better decisions, and you get alignment across marketing, sales, and success and product around what's happening, where should we focus on, and what to improve.
And I think that's the part that I love most, like that internal alignment between product and the other teams, because at the end of the day, product is not just for the product team. And the more other teams know about the product, the more sales knows, marketing or customer success, the more aligned everyone is. And I'm a big believer in that as a way to not only drive sales, but also drive satisfaction to your customers. So thank you for sharing that. Another thing that I am particularly very curious about, you mentioned that you're a learner, you're passionate about learning, and I share that passion with you. How do you go about learning? Like you started companies that were very small at the beginning. Now you're a much larger organization. How are you able to personally learn to be the best leader for your team?
So I think that one is you need to be part of you. If you're passionate about learning and you also absorb any type of changes, you like changes, that's a very good starting point for you to go learn. The way I learn is really, and we spoke about maybe the falling in love with the problem, not the solution. So as an entrepreneur, to me, is really focusing on the problem and learning about that. And then to me, it's really using any resources out there to learn. This is one. But in some cases, when you're building something new, the areas to learn is limited. So you need to be, I think one of the elements is to need to make sure that you're coming from the right space when you're building a new product. I think that when you're choosing to build a new product, you want to have a couple of things in mind when you're looking at the problem, right? Because first, learn about the space, because in many cases, we're seeing these innovators bias, right? You're building a solution and then looking for a problem. And that scarcely work. And I think that's it's a very human instinct to do that. So to me, learning is about the entire space. And then there's many other elements that you need to take into consideration. Because if you're learning about the space, and to me, it's about experience. For example, initially it was web and marketing experience. Now it's product experience, which was, to me, is a natural shift that happened in the same problem domain. But it helped me when I learned about the space and what's out there. It helped me also kind of be focused and be relevant to what's happening right now, but also understand what do I see as future problems. And for that, one of the ways to learn is also to meet with industry leaders, understand how painful the problem is. Because again, to me, to decide what to build next or what is going to be my next startup or product decision is there's a couple of things I want to learn. One is how do they solve the issue today? Because obviously we know that we want to solve something very painful, right? You're not just doing something adjacent or nice to have. So it's really painful today. How do you solve that today? What do you do today? And there's always multiple solutions to that problem. So you need to be a very open mind and understand how painful it is and then how do they solve it today. And then go to the solutioning when you say, I'm going to build something that is going to be at least 10x better than what you do today. Because right now you're trying to use multiple tools, not purposely built for your problem. And that was actually what led me to build Gainsight PX. As product manager, I wanted to learn what they do. I want to drive their decision. and I want to collect that feedback. And if I use different tools, it's become very complicated. I need to use a lot of engineering resources, and I want to solve that. When you do build something and trying to build a 10x better solution, right? We also know that it's like you have to be very, very focused on that. So learning about the pain and learning about the space is really important, and making sure that I always try to make sure that I'm solving something that is hard to solve. It's a big problem. Obviously, we aspire to be one day like Google. They solved what they solve is simple, but the way they solve it is very, very hard to do. And Tesla, for example, or Amazon, I think it's a big, big problem that they're solving. And I think there's a proportionate to the how complex the problem is, the success will tie to that. So to learn again, I think it's really meeting those industry leaders, learning from them, meeting customers, learning from them. Even practically, when I do build a new product, I try to even use mockups and describe my solution to these future customers. Customer advisory is fantastic. First, you know, before you even write the first line of code, there's many ways to learn. There's also ways to learn when you start building the product, right? When you start launching it, having like a set of customers you can learn from until you reach this go-to-market, the product market fit stage. And just other elements you need to learn about is also timing and priority, because sometimes it's very painful, but it's not priority. So when you do go and learn about what you to build next, make sure that the priority is now relevant, because in many cases, every company and every person you're going to meet, there's some problems. But will they now invest the time and money to solve it, or is it next year?
And that's the thing I want to touch on with you, because now you also have other product managers and product leaders in your organization. So you do your research, you really understand the problem, the existing solutions, you want to do something that is 10x better. And now, how do you go about, you know, managing, balancing the influence that you may have as an executive in the organization with the influence and the research that other managers have done, and then make a final decision so everyone can move in the same direction?
Absolutely. I think that there's an art and science to everything we do. So I think there's some decisions are, I would say, can be completely data-driven. You can see friction points you want to optimize. You can see specific areas that people are asking for. But still, you want to use data. You want to understand what type of customer is asking for that, double-clicking into that problem. And again, using data is one way. Show me the revenue data, show me the usage data, show me the customer feedback, and then let's have a decision and prioritize, because there's always a lot to go build. I think on the bigger element of what to build next is where you need to have more, I would say, art to that. It's really doing this market analysis, and the decision is based on also making an experiment. Can we make this learning an experiment cheaper? For example, do we go build it and then get the feedback, or we iterate and do that? Most companies don't completely reinvent or build a new product from scratch. Sometimes they do, but I think in that phase, I would apply the basic entrepreneurial skill set of learning and decisioning is having enough data points to launch something simple, get the feedback, and then take a decision. I think that also as a company or product managers, you want to make sure that you hire the right talent as well. And I think that one of the elements to create an innovative culture is also tied to the people that is part of the product org. And I think most people, as we know, they value a couple of things. One is the autonomous thinking. So in Gainsight, we do have teams that are running as a self-contained teams across the board, across all the products. So we want to keep that so they can, I think that Amazon is calling it the pizza team or something like that. So it's not more than 10 to 20 people eventually. So they can really stay autonomous and not spend time on alignment day in and day out. Because if you're building new things, and again, this is a new thing, you don't have a lot of data proof for that. You have to have a focus group. This group needs to spend time in working. as opposed to spend time in alignment. If you go to 50, 100, and in Marketo we hit 1,000 people, the product always was huge. I think that alignment took a lot of time, and maybe applying those teams are great. Second, you wanna know that every product leader wants to eventually build a mastery in what they do. So I think one of the things is to help them be an advisor and not a guide in that sense. I think it's they should come up with a solution. They want to feel themselves like growing and learning. So being just pretending the customer, being the red team sometime can be a way for them to just forget what they learn and relearn and think outside the box and being very creative. I think it's critical to be very, very creative. But if you have a product managers, you have a couple of types of people. One of a very, I would say, process oriented, and one is very creative. It's not always the same person. So I think for new product, you want to have the creativity mindset more than the process, because that's just something that some people are like to be more creative. Some like to be more, I think, you know, more process oriented. So I think for put the right people at the right task is also very important. Otherwise, they feel a lot of pressure, and it just doesn't fit their I would say their existing talents. And I think the last thing would be make sure that we are all aligned on the purpose and the vision and the goal. We tend to in product management we get so many inputs, right? And it's a hard position to be in. You get so many pressures from everywhere. And you need to prioritize. And eventually, you need to decide sometimes who are you going to disappoint. But you need to have purpose, because to come wake up every morning and you know, this, you need to feel the passion and the gut that tells you, you know, good and bad, I'm going to continue towards a goal. You need to have a purpose. And I think Gainsight, we have a purpose to be human first and also win in business, even being by human first and not necessarily always business driven. And we have other purposes, like really to be a leader in beyond customer success. We want to be a leader in customer experience and in analytics. So we have a purpose. One is more human, and second is also on the professional side. And then again, when it goes to the team, when you hire that person, we know that in product management, I'm looking for people that really like to learn if they're focusing now on a new problem. And usually these people should be with a multidisciplinary background with a lot of curiosity, as opposed to have a potentially very experienced person that kind of will give you the tactical solution, but might not give you the long-term solution. So I think it's about the talent and giving them the autonomy to do it, and also playing the customer as well, like the playing hardball, because eventually that the honest feedback is something that we're missing. And I think some of the early customers you want to have, they need to be very open, very direct, because then you're going to get the right feedback you need, because the early majority would not send you any feedback. They're just not going to use your product. And that's very, very important. You want this feedback as early as possible as a learning point. Learn from your customers. And there's many ways how to learn from customers' feedback, but you need to see how they, at the end of the day, decide about your product as opposed to what, you know, the data tells you.
And I'm glad that you are talking about the hard truth of product management, because it's not always fancy or nice. Getting the real feedback from customers takes more than just sending a survey, looking at numbers. You really have to dig deep and be ready to hear what's going on and ask the right questions. And I think that what you mentioned about curiosity and being generally interested in learning and being there and trying to break things, and it is so critical. I come from a startup background. That's what I thrive. But I think that it's, as you mentioned, important not to lose all of that as you grow, and maybe combine it with some people that are more process oriented. But like keeping that spark gets you excited and motivated to really bring that 10x solution instead of just incremental updates, right?
Absolutely. I think 10x means like you need to kind of think outside the box to be, can I do it that much better? And we've seen companies, again, did a great job. Also recently we saw Zoom and others, they disrupted their market with first, I would say it's partly a growth type of go-to-market, but they definitely delivered much, much better experience in that sense.
So, Mikey, just to wrap up, I want to talk about the future with you. Where do you think are the biggest opportunities for product people?
I think that, as I mentioned before, is the biggest opportunity is really to help the company with growth. And it's going to happen because there's two forces. One, customer expectation. More and more we are influenced by the consumer space. We are consuming apps. We are, especially now in B2B, we're paying good money for an app. So I think the one of the areas is really experience and design. But also understanding go-to-market. So I think that the CPO needs to be, again, multidisciplinary, but it's going to be much closer to the business outcome of companies. So I think that will be one of the elements that I would choose a good CPO based on that, you know, understanding both the business problem, but also tuned to the customer experience and kind of absorbing that new disruptive way to acquire customers, to build your product. I think that's where I see the future for CPOs.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. We've seen that as a product manager, as a product leader, you are more of a generalist and need to know enough about a lot of things, but obviously business and customer experience are merging. It's not that you can have a great business without caring about the customer, or just caring about the customer is going to be enough to build a profitable business. So thank you for bringing your perspective up. Is there anything else that you would like to share today?
Yeah, I think to touch on the experience itself, and again, I'm biased there, but I think that people underestimate the impact of experience on the product growth. And even in B2B, even in enterprise, if people really are excited about your product and they love what they see, I experienced back then in two previous companies that they will speak about that, and that will enable you a growth. And even in B2B, their colleagues gonna say, oh, they're gonna speak about it. If they don't really, if your experience is okay and you didn't really make something that they really excited about, then growth will be less a growth loop, so to speak. And the fact that, again, another element we're seeing Gainsight is now that the time to value and complexity and total cost of ownership is becoming very strategic to companies and also for us as Gainsight. We have multiple platforms. In the customer success space, we are the leader, but we do realize that we have, you know, you want to deliver the power that the customer needs, but you also need want to be cautious to deliver a good experience. So that's becoming top of mind because we do understand how experience impacts business and impacts decisions. And you know that your customers won't want to be self-sufficient. They don't want to deal with high complexity, but they do want that power. So that's a very interesting, I would say, decisioning that you need to take in place when we speak about experience and all the future of CPOs. I think that background is of growth and experience is important.
Absolutely. And just to top it off, we've seen at Product School a lot of customer success or customer support at account managers who are now transitioning to product management, and they bring a very interesting insight because they interact with customers day in, day out.
Yeah, they feel the pain. I think that's, and they're learning the skills to kind of also build a new solution to existing pain as well.
Well, thank you very much for your time. This was fantastic. And yeah, just want to continue building this community with you and other product leaders, learning more about product-led growth and the intersection between customer experience and product experience. So thank you for everything that you are doing for the community, Mikey.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.